Father, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I know this will seem a little strange, but I got really blessed this week by going to a funeral. And I know most of you guys avoid funerals, right? Like we all do in our culture. We avoid that. But it was really an incredible experience for me. Some of you may know a friend of mine, David Sandifer. He's the really tall priest from Jacksonville, now in Cambridge, England, studying. He's just, as Sammy says, freakishly tall. So he's her godfather. So he's like 6'6". And David's mother, Annabelle, went to be the Lord on March 28th. Just a few days ago, and I was blessed, overwhelmed really, to be asked to go and be the celebrant at that funeral, and it was just, it was a real honor. But I have known Annabelle for many years, about 15, 18 years, I guess now, and just, this is just a saint. This was truly one of the saints living among us, and as I went, it was almost like I felt like I was getting a spiritual checkup, you know. Sometimes you just need to go and get a spiritual checkup. And for me, Annabelle's funeral really became that. Just everything that happened, not just the preaching. Carrie had loved it. Whitey Hogan preached for about 45 minutes. And it was a long funeral, but it was a spiritual checkup. One of the most powerful images that we were shared with, was shared about Annabelle's life, was that her husband got up and said that in her Bible, she would occasionally take a pen or a pencil, and it's okay to do this, by the way, and she would make an arrow in her Bible, and then she put a point, a dot, above the arrow. And actually, the bulletin that we used for the service had that. It had that arrow with a dot at the top. And so if you know David Sandifer, I know where he gets that artistic expression. And so we were told that this was the explanation we were given by Earl, her husband. He said that when he asked her about it, she said that that is what she put in her Bible when she came across a passage that reminded her of our goal, our purpose, that the intimacy of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering that we're going to be with Him eternally, face to face. And she would put that arrow and the dot to remind herself of the one thing. Now, King David said it a little differently. He said it over in Psalm 27. He said, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's the same psalm that he talks about being a doorkeeper in the Lord's house. That one thing. So this morning, I want to just add to the testimony that we've already heard from Bernie, to say to all of us, to encourage us, that seeking that one thing, the Lord Jesus, seeking that intimacy of relationship with Him, giving Him our very, very best, is worth it. It's worth it. And that's the testimony I had as I went to this funeral, to hear the testimonies of this woman, the people that she had touched with her life, the people, the way she had lived her life, reminded me of that over and over again. Now, 1 Peter really gives us the same sort of an insight. Peter is writing to a group of Christians that have been exiled. They are probably Jewish believers, but because of the rebellion of the Jewish people in around Jerusalem, the Romans have come in, they've destroyed the temple again, and they have dispersed them out throughout Asia Minor. Peter is writing to these people, and he is writing a letter of encouragement. And the focus, the bumper sticker for the whole letter is found in the fifth chapter, if I can get over there. The fifth chapter of 1 Peter, verse 12, the second part of the verse, actually. Basically, Peter says, "I have written briefly to you," five chapters for him was brief, "exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." Peter's saying the same thing. It's that arrow with the dot at the top. Stand firm. Hold on to the grace of God that you have found in Jesus Christ. It is that one, as Jesus says himself in the parables, that pearl of great price. You guys, I want to be known as a worshiper of Jesus Christ. I want to be a person for whom it is said at the end of my life that he was one who lived a God-centered life. I want to be a person who is a lover of God, who loves the things that God loves and hates the things that God hates. That's the things I heard said over Annabelle at her funeral. But I want that for myself. But like you, I know it is true for all of us, the temporary emergencies, the tyranny of the urgent, to quote a guy that wrote a book a few years ago, sneaks in, doesn't it? And it distracts us, and it pulls us away from this one thing, this one pursuit of God in Christ Jesus. If you will, it's our Easter response. The grace of God, the gift of God given to us in Jesus Christ. Him coming, dying, rising for us. It is there, and yet, in the midst of all the busyness and all the urgency and all the running around, we can lose sharpness and focus on that one goal that Annabelle described with that arrow and the dot. And I want to encourage you in that this morning. I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be considering that. Now, the way Peter describes it, Peter likes imperative sentences. He likes to give commands. And all throughout the letter of 1 Peter, you get that sense. At the beginning, he says, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. And I've already explained what the exile is. These are people who've been carried away from Jerusalem. But even on a spiritual sense, they're not yet home with the Lord. Conduct yourselves with fear. Now, what does that mean, fear? It doesn't mean like go to a scary movie. I've seen some scary movies and I'm shaking in my shoes. That's not the fear that we're talking about. It's the fear of God, the righteous fear. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom, is the Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs says. It's a reverence. It's a respect for the Lord. It's a recognition of what we've been given. Peter goes on to talk about, we've not been redeemed with silver and gold. We've got something much more precious that we've been redeemed with. We've been redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we all know the preciousness of silver and gold. I don't have much silver and gold, but money, hey, now come on, money does a lot for me. And so I value it. You value it. Nothing wrong with that. We've got houses, we've got chances to go on vacations, all that's headed in the summer here. Good stuff, because we know the value. But Peter says, we've got something. We've been redeemed with something much more precious than silver and gold. We've been redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we should conduct ourselves with a holy fear, with a reverence, with a singular pursuit to respond with our lives to the one who gave himself for us. And that's what I got reminded of this week. That in the tyranny of the urgent, the tyranny of the rushing around and all the little emergencies and all the little things we want to do in life, have I made that one thing, intimacy with God, being a lover of God, being a worshiper, that priority of my life? Am I doing that? Boy, the psalmist really gives us to it this morning in 116. It's a great psalm of worship. This is a worshiper that is expressing himself in the psalm. And it comes out of really re-examining over and over again what it is that God has done for us. It was kind of cool. I didn't even know it. And then I read that verse about blessed in your sight are saints that die. What is it? The one talks about preciousness in the sight of the Lord is the death of a servant. Wow. And so it kind of all flowed together. Now, the road to Emmaus experience actually does fit in. Because part, I think, of growing as a worshiper, one who is a lover of God, comes out of repeatedly going back and examining just who it is. Who is this God that has loved us so much? And particularly in the person of Jesus. And so here's this Emmaus Road experience. These two close inner circle of disciples that have been, you know, with Jesus for 3 years, heard him talk about that he would rise from the dead. And yet when they find the tomb empty by the report from the women, they go back to Emmaus. Now, I don't think the way they're downcast, they're sad, I don't think they're going back to encourage other people to come back to Jerusalem. They're going back to their old life. Maybe they're afraid of persecution. But they at least are going back to some old way of life. They're returning. They're getting out of Jerusalem. And Jesus finds them on the road. I mean, it's like, I don't prescribe to the whole GPS thing. I like maps. But yet here is Jesus with this GPS who's able to actually track them down on the road to Emmaus. He finds them and he walks with them. Do you get how Jesus pursues these two people? He tracks them down. And they don't recognize him, but he's with them. And he begins to question them. And then he begins to speak into the fear, not the godly fear that we're told to have in 1 Peter, but the fear of man, the fear of circumstances. And they're filled with this fear. And so Jesus begins to speak into their lives and begins to begin to open up the scriptures, it says, and just lays all the scripture out for them and goes through and shows how all the scripture points back to him. Like to be there for that. Now, I already told you that Whitey Hogan was the preacher. Some of you guys know who Whitey is, known for long sermons. Annabelle actually said to Whitey, "Preach as long as you want." If you know Whitey, you know that's a long time. "Preach as long as you want. I don't care." And so Whitey did. He did. Boy. And I've seen him go from Genesis to Revelation. But imagine being with our Lord Jesus as he opened the scriptures. And more began to reveal to them what each page, how it relates back to him. The longer I study scripture, I recognize and I begin to realize that it's really interconnected. 66 books, and yet there's this amazing weave of God's history, God's plan, God revealing himself. This book we've been reading, some of us reading this N.T. Wright book, and did a study that I didn't actually go to the book study, but I read the book, and it was incredible how N.T. Wright begins to really show us, you know, connecting things, how the Exodus relates to what Jesus was talking about when he comes, the first Exodus into Egypt. And Jesus is doing this where he's opening the word for these two disciples. It's not 500 people here, not even the 12. We don't even get the name of one of the two people, and yet Jesus walks with them, reveals himself to them, teaches an incredible study where he opens the scripture for them, and then when asked, stays and breaks bread. And here we have this incredible vision of the Word and the sacraments. Jesus opening the Scriptures and Jesus displaying himself in the sacrament, the breaking of the bread. Jesus meets these two on the road to Emmaus right where they are. He does the same for us. But he calls us where we are not to leave us there, but to bring us onward and upward. To quote a guy that uses that a lot. Onward and upward. And it's for this one thing. It's for this purpose. That we wouldn't stay that place, that broken, fearful person that Jesus first met us, wherever our road to Emmaus is, that we would be changed. See, Annabelle Sanifer, I'm not trying to point her out as being someone who was on a different level from us. She was someone who simply lived in the presence of God and allowed God to change her. Lived in response to the grace of God given to her. You know, when you live with somebody for a long time, you begin to favor them. That's bad news for some of you women, because I've seen the guys you live with. I was waiting for that one. And I wanted to be looking at Rick when I said it. I'm just kidding you, brother. But just like we look, you know, we physically begin to look like the person that we commit our life to and we begin to live our whole life with. Boy, you know, our one goal should be to so live in the presence of God that we begin to reflect the person of Jesus. Annabelle, bless her heart, by the end of her life, last 20 years of her life, she struggled with rheumatoid arthritis. And her arms had really hurt. As a matter of fact, her children talked about her hands and wanted to be there as the Lord stretched out those fingers in her new glorified body, and what would that be like? But she lived in the presence of God. She spent time in His Word, just as Jesus broke open the Scriptures. She meditated in the fellowship of the sacraments and the sharing of communion, the being around other people. See, that's probably the one key besides the Scriptures and the sacraments. It's being around other people who love God. It's being in the presence of other people who are pursuing that one thing. That's why this was such a discipleship lesson for me, this funeral. Because I was around others who were all saying together, yes, Annabelle, we want to put that arrow in that dot. We want to be on that same path. That's my encouragement to you today. Be about that with me, will you? Will you be ones who are seeking to be lovers of God? Seeking to be ones who say, as David does, one thing have I really sought after. All the other small goals, ideas, dreams in my life, this one thing, intimacy with you, that will I seek after. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.